Merstham Amateur Dramatic Society, also known as MADS, is based in the Village Hall. Its latest production is Ladies in Lavender, set in pre-war England. Two sisters befriend a young man who washes up on the beach of their Cornish seaside village. Director Tricia White and actor Alan Webber join me in the studio. Welcome both to Susie.
Thank you very much. We're pleased to be here.
It's lovely to have you, I have to say. Tricia, let's start with you first of all. I saw the promo banner and it occurred to me it's the first time really that I've thought about going so local. Tell us a little bit about the theatre company.
Well, it was formed just a little bit before I was born in 1931, I think, and it's been going ever since. Obviously, it's had its ups and downs. We usually put on one play a year, like this one, Ladies in Lavender, in Merstham Village Hall. And we try to do something else during the year, like take part in the one-act play festivals or take shows around to various places. It really depends on our source of able actors, directors, set builders, front of house staff. We can take anybody, and we love having new people come on, so it would be great if this tempts some of you to maybe join up with MADS.
That's the thing, isn't it? Life is so busy these days. Is it quite difficult to get people to sign up? Because it's quite a commitment, isn't it?
It is a commitment, but for each production, it's only a short-term commitment of, well, I say short-term, probably about 2 to 3 months maximum. So it's intensive rehearsing in that time. Probably twice or maybe three times a week. At the moment, we're doing three times a week because we open next week. So it's a bit of a panic to get everything ready. But I'm sure we'll be all right. We had a good rehearsal last night, which bodes well.
That's good to hear. Now, you actually normally direct at the Oxted Theatre Group. How did you become involved in this particular project, Tricia?
Well, we Amdram people all know each other. So word gets about. And if you are freelance, like I am, to a certain extent, people just ask you to come along. And this is my second time I've been with MADS. I did an Alan Ayckbourn play a few years ago, Neighbourhood Watch, and very kindly they asked me back to do this one. So I was thrilled because I've wanted to do this play for a long time. It's quite a complicated one to put on the stage because this adaptation has been taken from the film script.
That's right, actually, because the original story was the film in 2004 with Charles Dance, who was the director, and it starred our local A-lister Judi Dench, of course.
Yeah, of course.
How could we forget that?
I'm afraid we haven't got her with us this time.
No. What a surprise. We'll talk about the plot with Alan in just a moment, but how daunting is it to be directing a stage version for local theatre?
Well, it depends on the talent you've got offered to you. I love directing, but then I'm a control freak, that's probably why. I just have this vision inside my head, and what's important is for me to put that vision into the heads, first of all, of the acting company and the production crew, and ultimately into the audience. So it goes from my brain out into the world.
Let's talk about that vision, actually, Tricia. As a director, how do you actually prepare a treatment of something like this? Talk us through the process.
Well, it starts long before anybody else is involved. Once you've chosen your play, you have to, yes, find the vision to do that play. I plot it, I think about it a lot, I'm waking in the middle of the night sometimes thinking about it. It just takes me over. And it's just a creative thing, like if you were composing a piece of music or maybe writing a book. You have the idea inside you, and then you want to give it to other people.
It's adapted for the stage by Sean McKenna. How much help and direction is given?
Well, as a director, I would say too much, because I like to work with what I've got inside me, not what's inside somebody else's, Sean McKenna's head, for example. We've stuck pretty well to the script as it is. We have adapted the stage directions quite a lot because, obviously, the Merstham Village Hall is not a film set. So we have to lower our sights, I suppose.
And that has some challenges, I imagine.
Yes, it does. We're performing it on four levels. We're performing it, the bedroom scene, the living room scene, the garden and the beach scene. So we've got four different levels that we're working on.
And if I can turn to Alan now. Mads describes the piece as an evocative, heartwarming story of unfulfilled dreams and unrequited love. Alan, you play Dr. Mead, don't you?
Yes.
And before you tell us about your character, give us a little resume of the tale of Ladies in Lavender.
Yes, it's set in the mid-30s. There's two sisters living on the coast. The older sister had a boyfriend who was killed in the war, in World War One. The second sister's never really had a boyfriend at all. And this young man gets washed up on the beach, who's a foreigner, doesn't speak any English, and they take him in to look after him. The younger sister effectively falls in love with him, but obviously he's not very interested in her. She's a lot older than him. And the doctor who comes in to look after them is his wife's just died, or recently died. And in his wanderings, he comes across a young woman who's painting on the beach. And she's also foreign. And he becomes very smitten with her. And again, the same thing happens. She's not very interested in him either. Not surprisingly, in the end, the two young people get together. And all the hopes and dreams that the older people have had more or less fall apart by the end of the show. It sounds very depressing, but actually it's not. It's quite an uplifting piece altogether. Partly because I think the older people rebond by the end of it. There's a lot of friction in there.
Let's talk about that friction, because as you say, the protagonists are the sisters, but actually the Polish Jew that they find on the beach, the Russian lady who's part of it, the whole foreignness idea, that's a very interesting take, isn't it? Because the village isn't used to visitors, and everyone apart from the sisters are quite suspicious of Andrea, and in particular his friendship with the Russian lady Olga, who's holidaying nearby. And Dr. Mead's character, he's kind of a conduit, isn't he, to express a collective xenophobia almost.
Well, you have to remember, again, we don't know any of this for certain, but my gut feeling is that he certainly fought in the First World War, and I suspect he was a doctor in the First World War, and he really doesn't like the Germans. He might keep it under control, but every now and again you'll find him start to react. But when the Germans are mentioned or someone suggests he speaks German, he'll literally almost fly off the handle and say, we can't trust the Germans. And because in the end his relationship with Olga becomes very strained, that sort of almost extends out to almost anybody who's foreign, which is why I say in the end the community sort of comes back together once the foreigners are gone. So you've got this sort of tension that's there.
Yes.
while they're present.
And Dr. Mead, as you say, he's very set in his way. He's got a history which dictates how he feels about the Germans, and the sisters actually communicate in German initially, don't they, to Andrea?
Yes, they do.
Which arouses his suspicions. But how difficult is it to play his character but show his human, his fallible side?
Well, I think that's the challenge of any part that you play in any show. You have to work out the motivations of the character that you're playing and then try and find a way of bringing that out on stage. But it's just part of the acting process.
I think also the other thing that's quite interesting is we are talking about 1930s England, and people tended to really revere doctors, didn't they? Less so now, but certainly in the 1930s they would have done. So the doctor's views, they would have been respected and influenced the villagers somewhat, wouldn't they?
Yes, and to be honest, he's quite a pompous sort of person, particularly when he's in his doctor mode and he's saying, no, you won't do this and you must do this and so on. Yes, he's, in fact, there's a nice contrast between the control that he has when he's in doctor mode and his relationship with Olga, where she continually throws things at him that leave him, what do I do now, sort of thing. It's an interesting part to play. He's got many different facets to his character, all of which you've got to try and bring out.
And the play in general, I mean, the story, to me, is very thought-provoking. For me, it highlights that sort of dark part in many of us, that sometimes we want to preserve the status quo, everything that we know, that we love, that we hold dear, because it makes us feel safe in the short term, doesn't it? Instead of embracing change and encouraging change.
Yes, I think, well, that's certainly true then. I mean, these villages were very much more insular than they are now. They didn't get many visitors at all.
But that's the thing I liked about it. It is very thought-provoking. Mm. There are so many different layers, aren't there? If I can bring you both in. The story is a real exploration of the human psyche, isn't it? Of lost dreams, unfulfilled things. It embodies that emotional cycle of change, which can really affect all of us. The concept of change or moving forward is not something to fear. That's the ethos to me. That's what I get from it. I don't know how you feel directing and acting.
Yes, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And I think that in each of these characters, we see ourselves. There's a part of ourselves in each one of us. And it's unrequited love. It's a poignancy. We've all been through that feeling of being rejected, being not loved as much as we would like to be loved. So the audience can identify with each of the characters. Each one has this damaged part of them.
And I think recognising that you have a damaged part, but that you also have to allow other people to have freedom in their lives is a difficult one to get your head round, but it's actually something that enriches you ultimately, rather than keeping something closed to yourself, because it makes your life smaller and other people's lives smaller, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But each of the characters have this closedness where they don't want to let their feelings out. Dr. Mead keeps his feelings about his wife and about his desire for Olga very much to himself. Janet, the older sister, who lost her fiancé, lover, in the First World War, is terribly buttoned up about it and doesn't want to speak about it. And Olga herself, the Russian, is an independent, free spirit, but still you feel as though she's got something inside her that she wants to give out, but she hasn't discovered it yet.
Yeah, there's a certain brittleness, isn't there, even though she comes across as being quite a confident character.
I think most of us, we appear more confident than we actually are.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tricia and Alan, it's been a delight having you coming on to talk about this. Thank you so much. Good luck with the production. It starts next Wednesday, doesn't
it?
Yes,
a week today.
That was director Tricia White and actor Alan Weber. And if you want to go and see Ladies in Lavender, it takes place on the 18th, 19th and 20th of October at Merstham Village Hall, Station Road. Tickets cost £10. You can ring the box office on 01883 742 708 or you can email madstickets@gmail.com and you can also book online. Next up, it's Katie Mellower.